This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's time to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. Luke, hi.
Hi, Elliot. I was doing a selfie, sorry.
I'm very distracted. Confused.
I had to do a selfie.
I want your utmost attention.
It was a very important millennial thing that I had to do. I was capturing this moment for prosperity.
Oh, okay. No, that's all right.
So that we can remember this always, this intimate session that we're about to have.
Well, I plan to remember it for always anyway.
Oh, that's really better than me.
Just because every time I'm in your vicinity is a special moment.
Oh, stop. You're making my nipples hard. I like it.
Now, on this week's show, I wanted to talk about idle gaming.
It is all about you, isn't it?
It kind of is.
Well, this is really relevant because you got a game recently, which is probably the most, one of the more interesting review codes I think we've ever been given here on Checkpoint. You know, we've been running this show for nearly 6 years, and we've reviewed all kinds of games. But when you told me about this one, I had to stop and go, wait, how does it work? Like, how does this happen? So, tell us about this game called The Longing that you've been playing.
I'd love to tell you about The Longing. Even the developers, when they sent me code, were like, so, I know this sounds crazy, but hear us out. basically, what The Longing is a game that takes 400 days to complete. That's the premise, right? And when we're talking 400 days, I don't mean time within the game moves slower compared to time in the real world. I mean 400 real-world days
wow.
before you're able to finish this game. it's crazy. And I got this game about a month before the game's release date.
Right.
And it was in this email that they sent me saying, hey, you should check out The Longing, they said, it's very unlikely in the 1 month's time that we've got until the game releases that you've seen enough of this game to review it. And in my mind, I'm like, what are you talking 1 month is heaps of time to... Absolutely no time.
When it's 400 days to finish a game, I guess, you know, 30 days before, that's like not even a tenth of, like, it's like 1/13th of what the game has to offer. So, I mean, normally when we review a game, you do like to play like at least a good chunk of it. If it's a long game, you want to put in probably at least 20 or 30 hours, you know, or finish it completely if you can.
Oh, but absolutely.
I mean, how do you do that when the game literally takes 400 days to complete?
Well, the reality is you don't. I'm not planning to review this game in a traditional sense because how could you possibly?
Yeah.
It's been actually well over a month. At the time of recording, the last time I checked in on that game, I was 50 days into my 400-day journey.
Okay.
Which is not bad. Like, I feel accomplished. I've done things. I've got
receipts.
I've got things to show for that progress kind of thing. But also, like, it's such a small amount of the whole game experience, and I know I haven't seen it all yet. I know there's something just out of reach, and I'm like, what is that thing? Like, I need to keep moving forward. So, yes, I plan on writing a big feature for checkpointgaming.net. In fact, it's probably already released by the time you hear this podcast, because we do this in advance. And just kind of, it's like a journal of my experience with this game, my slow descent into madness as I move through this dimly lit cave and explore every nook and cranny and try to figure out how the hell this game expects me to play it for 400 days straight.
So, what do you do in The Longing? I'm sort of thinking, okay, it's this long game, it's an idle game, you know, which means you're not playing it all the time. Things are happening while you're not even at your computer.
Yeah.
So things are happening right now while we're in this room recording this podcast.
100%. Right now, at the time of speaking, I'm really hoping a mushroom I planted has grown.
Okay, this is important.
This is super important.
Very Harvest Moon. I like it. So what do you do in the game? Like, you're in a cave, you're by yourself, you're exploring. What is this game trying to do? Is it trying to, I guess, give you that feeling of, you know, this long journey, this lonely journey by yourself? And what do you accomplish in this game?
Let me give you the premise. So the game basically opens with a small cinematic that explains that It's some kind of fantasy world, right? And the king has gone into resting. He needs to regain his power. And so he's kind of locked himself within this underground temple for 400 days. You are created as a being called a shade. Okay. And your only job is to wait out that 400 days so you can wake the king on the 400th day so that the king can continue with this new regained power.
Yeah.
You only exist for this purpose. But of course, you have this whole cave system to explore. And so you're basically, well, the character at the very least is killing time to pass 400 days. And there's a lot of meta commentary and stuff. It's really cute, actually. The Shade, because it's created for this purpose, doesn't even know what a day is. It's never seen the passage of time. It doesn't understand the job it's doing and what's happening. So it's really quite funny. But obviously, you as the player understand that 400 days is a hell of a long time to wait.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got this constantly ticking down timer right at the top of the screen. It's counting down the time, it's counting down the minutes, the seconds, the hours, the days, to progress through 400. And as you mentioned earlier, it's an idle game, which means if as you log out, that timer is still ticking down, stuff is still happening within the game. You don't need to be playing it for 400 days straight. It kind of plays itself, but obviously it needs your input or not much is really going to happen. Theoretically speaking, you could launch the game, close it for 400 days, reopen it, and see what happens at the end. But you're kind of, I'm assuming, missing out on most of the gameplay experience because sure. There is this entire cave system to explore throughout the longing as well. A lot of the times, I mean, the game does this really good thing where it teaches you patience. Just the walking animation is so slow. You get to the top of this long staircase, and there's these big double doors, and you click to open them, and they take like 20 to 30 seconds just to open while you just stand there watching it. And in most other games, you'd be like, this is absolutely infuriating, right?
Yeah.
It would be maddening. It's like, this game is not taking my time seriously. But I don't know, in The Longing, for some reason, it gets a pass because, you know, time is not the enemy here. You have time in abundance. There's no time pressure. You can do whatever you want at whatever pace, and you're absolutely not hampering your own progression because you've got all the time in the frickin' world to do whatever you want. I'm lucky I play on a dual monitor, which means I can be having the game play itself while I'm, you know, whatever.
Playing another game,
exactly, if I wanted to.
And is it sort of, because I know with idle games, this is a genre that really has grown a lot, especially in the mobile space, right?
Yes.
You know, everyone has these mobile games that are idle games, and it could be like, you know, you have to have a kingdom or a town or something, and then you might press a button to get a building started, and you know it's going to take like 6 hours to build. So you put the phone down, and you come back at the end of your workday, and then you've built like, you know, a bakery or whatever.
Exactly.
So there's plenty of these games out there that are quite popular, and they do sort of, you know, have successful business models where you can pay money to speed them up. You can be like, oh, I don't want to wait 6 hours for this to build. I want to pay $1 and then I can actually get it straight away. But, you know, it sounds like The Longing has been designed with this in mind, there's no microtransactions, there's no sort of speeding up the process. The Longing is this idle game where, you will play at this slow pace. You don't have the option to skip things and speed it up.
Exactly.
Is that right?
You're 100% right. And honestly, the whole idle genre is so ripe for criticism and, like, it's 100% this kind of, I don't know, cheap might be the wrong word.
It's cash grabby.
It's a cash grabby.
It is.
It's not, they're not putting much depth into these experiences. What they're doing is creating these artificial time barriers that the player can then pay for to remove. But The Longing kind of takes that idea and moves it into an adventure game as well. No microtransactions. I did have this one idea where I'm like, okay, I think I've got this game figured out. I think I know a way to move time faster, even if it doesn't want me to. So this is a trick for PC players, and I've done it in other games before, but you'll go into your system settings of your PC and speed forward your clock so that the tricks the game into believing time has passed even when it hasn't. I did this, logged back in the game, and got this message on my screen basically busting me for what I had done and stopping me from playing until I reset the time. And I've got a feeling that the developers have these artificial, like, every day it ticks over, it must allow the player to get to that point. And they have to keep resetting the game to allow that, so that to get past the kind of cheat that I was trying to do. I'm not 100% on how they've achieved it, because so many other games haven't gotten around this.
Well, this is something that even Animal Crossing used to do on the GameCube. Like, Animal Crossing had that, where you would move, because you'd have, like, Animal Crossing would be, for those who don't know Animal Crossing, it's a game where you just live your life and have this little town and have friends and you build your house and you collect things. It's really simple. It's like a little cute life simulator, and there is no end game. There is no real kind of, you finished it. It just goes forever.
Is it an idle game?
It's not an idle game, no. Things happen, sometimes things happen off screen, but I wouldn't really call it an idle game necessarily. But with Animal Crossing, there's, like, events that happen on, like, your birthday or on, like, Christmas and stuff and things like that. So, there's special days. Or there's, like, a fishing tournament on Tuesdays, for example. And you might not play it on Tuesday. You're only playing it on Monday, right? So, you're like, well, I want to do the fishing tournament because I can win prizes from that. I'll just move my clock forward so I can do the fishing tournament and then be happy. But you would do that, and then you would come back into the game, and this little, like, mole dude would come out of the ground and be like, hey, you changed the clock. Don't do that. Like, you can't mess with time, man. Like, and I love that about it. And this is a game that's, like, you know, 20 years old almost.
Okay.
So I think, yeah, it's good that games do incorporate that when they're literally saying, no, this is how you play the game. This isn't about skipping things and about, you know, cheating to get to the next step. This is a game that's meant to be lived and meant to be experienced the way they've designed it. Mm-hmm. And it's good that The Longing has also incorporated something to ensure that happens.
Well, yeah, I'm glad they did as well. They clearly have an intention for the way players are supposed to play it. But when I never want to cheat a game, but I actually thought that was the point. When I first started playing, I'm like, okay, there must be more to this. They can't possibly expect us to wait 400 days. What's the catch? Like, what am I missing?
You thought it was like some meta Easter egg.
I thought it was totally
like,
meta.
I'm gonna change the clock.
100%. And I thought it was going to create this whole process of metagaming moving forward, where actually that 400-day wait, that was the first puzzle of this game kind of thing. Right. And like, it had built itself on a whole premise that wasn't true.
You're wrong, weren't you?
I was wrong. I was definitely wrong. Yep. But The Longing is such an interesting experience, right? Because it is this whole labyrinthian cave system. And I'm really, really bad with like sense of direction, like really bad. Mm. And so I was immediately lost, like constantly, just basically walking in any direction, finding new things, checking out my surroundings. And there are a whole bunch of these areas that you'll reach. So one example I'll give is that there was this kind of divot in the ground, a divot in the ground that you couldn't reach the other side of it because it reached too low and the cliffside on the other side was too high. And you couldn't possibly progress any further in that direction. However, there was a drop of water that kept coming from the top of the ceiling. And very, very slowly over time, that drop of water was filling up the divot. So much so that you could eventually kind of swim your way up to the top once the hole had been completely filled in by the water. However, this was a process that took over 2 weeks of time, real-world time, to complete. And so you can go in the game, find these areas, kind of save your spot there, and then go and do other things. And then after 2 weeks, you can command your character to go back to those saved areas and kind of see the progress that has been made. And so I would constantly be finding these spots, these like artificial time barriers that you just had to wait, whether it was 2 days, 2 weeks, or a month or more. There were all these spots that the game forced you to wait before you could progress through. And it's a clever way to make this game, which, you know, makes you play for 400 hours, it kind of pads 400 days, sorry. Right. It kind of pads the content out longer and longer, because theoretically, in 24 hours of playing straight, you might be able to see everything if it weren't for the fact that this game forces you to wait on those moments.
And I guess the question is, at that point, and this will probably be in your review as well, but, you know, is the payoff worth it? You know, like when you've waited a month for a certain thing to open up or to be accessible, is that payoff like, oh, wow, you know, that was really cool? Or do you just go through a door and you're like, oh, okay, like, you know, not that interesting. You know, I think a game like this, it sounds like if they are blocking certain content to prolong the experience, you'd want to make sure that when you come back to check those things out, that it's worth coming back for, right?
I'd say both yes and no, far as is the payoff worth it, which is funny because, I mean, above all else, I think this game is totally audacious, as in
The audacity.
Exactly.
To make me play this 400 days.
Exactly. It's like, who do you think you are?
I have other games to play. Exactly. I have like hundreds of other games are going to come out in that time period. This is a fast-moving industry, but, and you're making me stop and play this one thing.
But also, I enjoy that confidence so much that they're like, hey, so this is going to take over a month. Have fun with that. It's like, okay. Well, I really want to know what's behind that door now. So you kind of revisit after some time, and, you know, sometimes it's worth it, sometimes it's not.
I'm just wondering about the testing phase of this game, right? Because, you know, normally games, when a developer's making it, they go through this testing period where they'll test it on the public, they'll get friends and family to try it, they'll internally do tests and stuff like that. How long has this game been in development for? Because I feel like having to test a game that takes 400 days to complete. Because imagine as a player, if you got to like day 395 and then I glitched out completely. Like, you know what I mean? I just like fucked up and the whole game finished. You're like, what happened? It's like, oh, well, you have to start again. Like, you would be completely devastated. So, I mean, I just wonder behind the scenes how they were like, okay, let's make sure that we can get to 400 days of gameplay without it completely crashing and failing.
I mean, what a nightmare that would be. The reality is developers always have their own cheat tools and software and whatever to test their games in a way that the player never will be able to. I'm sure they can speed up time and jump to certain areas and make sure that every small segment of the game is tested. But, Yeah, you're right. If something crashes my game and deletes my save file or something 399 days in, I'm going to be...
I picture your computer just, like, flying out the window. Like, in this fantasy, you're in, like, a 5-story building or something. So it's, like, flying out the window, hitting the pavement. I'm done. The longing. Get out of here.
The longing.
Cool, though.
It is cool. It's super interesting, but it's not like... It's not like the kind of game you get lost in as far as, like, you need to be taking these breaks. Like, if you take this game seriously and play it for extended periods of time, you are not getting the payoff the game is designed to give you. It is designed for you to be barely playing it, in a sense. Like, there are things to do. You move around, you find parts of your instrument, you find different books, you'll find different colors that you can create paintings of. You eventually find... Well, I won't spoil too much, but you'll find different areas and find different things. And a lot of it is just kind of decorating your home base and stuff, because you do have a little hovel that you call your own.
Sure.
And it is really interesting. You can just sit on the couch and read a book. And we mean like real world books, like To Kill a Mockingbird or something. I'll open up a book and it'll be like 789 pages and you can just flick through it.
Wow, like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah, exactly. Like genuine massive books. I'm like, okay, this is how they intend for people to potentially be killing time within this game, because the whole idea is to kill time pretty much. I am fascinated by it, and I know there must be more there. I know there must be more endings. I'm sure there are other things that can be achieved.
Wait, multiple endings in a 400-day game?
I think so.
Where you're going to play it more than once?
Well...
You're going to play it 800 days?
I mean, that's a good point.
1,200 days? That's like 3 years.
But I need to see every ending. No. but...
Good on them for trying something different, though, because, I mean, this is so a world... Different. A world of video games where they're so fast-paced, right? It's like, oh, Call of Duty and Battle Royale and Fortnite and Overwatch. And it's like all these fast-paced kind of taster games that you get where it's like this multiplayer adrenaline rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or it's a single-player campaign that lasts 20 or 30 hours and then you're done with it. So, I mean, good on them for coming up with a way of creating... And it's an indie as well, which means they've got this sort of leverage to create something special they want to make without the overheads of like a AAA publisher being like, no one's going to buy this. You know, making what they want to make and owning it and thinking it through conceptually from start to finish. Or we assume you're only like, what, you know, 80 days in or whatever. So
yeah, 50 days
50.
In.
So you got a long way to go.
1/8 of the game.
We're going to talk about this on another podcast in like a year. So you can just tell us how this has been at the end of the journey.
A game that takes over a year.
We're
going to
revisit this. I need to know what happens at the end of 400 days. What happens with the king? Does he wake up? What happens?
We all need to know.
We do.
I just refuse to let this game finish at this point. It's one of those things where you. I'm in too deep.
It's hooked you now.
It's definitely hooked me. And it is a super interesting take on idle games. I totally agree. This is a developer who has found a niche and they're like, well, I don't care if nobody likes this. We're making it because we've got an interesting idea and they've committed to it 100%. And I totally respect that as well. So yeah, Luke, thank you for joining me.
That's all right. I'm intrigued by this game as well. Like, I didn't know that much about it, but you've kind of got me interested. Like, especially, it's on PC only, right?
It is on PC.
See, if this is on Switch, that would be a really cool thing to have just running, because it would be handheld. You could just do it on the train, check it every day, do a few things. I hope they put it on other platforms in the future.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that goes. Get them past the Nintendo kind of certification board. Anyway, that has been our chat on idle games, or more specifically, a game called The Longing, which was just too interesting not to talk about.
Yeah.
My name has been Elliot. Luke, thank you for joining
me. So welcome.
And make sure you stay tuned, because there are more awesome, intimate podcasts coming out of Checkpoint.
Oh, yeah.
And more just podcasts in general. So make sure you stay tuned for those, and we'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.